Welcome to The Pause with Ellen Wyoming Deloy. That's me. I'm your host. Life can be demanding, and most of us get caught up in the busy go, go, go. But there is great value in taking a moment to pause and reflect. Constant momentum doesn't always equate to forward momentum. And I'm here to teach you how to take a strategic pause so that your next step is purposeful and in the direction of your goals. Develop self-awareness and skills that improve your ability to walk through life with intention. This is a path toward a more balanced, fulfilling state of being. Take a beat and then take action. The Pause with Ellen Wyoming Deloy starts now. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It's been a while since I've been here. I was out of town a couple of weeks ago and we ran a repeat episode of my Stress Less with Sensory Awareness with Dr. Tia Ho. So I hope you got a lot of value out of that if you're able to check out that episode. If you haven't, I highly recommend going in and looking through my show episodes and checking her work out because you might need it. And it dovetails really nicely into what I want to talk with you about today. But first, thanks so much for listening. If you're just joining, I'm Ellen Wyoming Deloy, and you're listening to The Pause. This is the place where we take a beat before we take action. And that's really what this episode today is all about. I'm in year four of my business. I left my job, my paid employment in early 2018. And I've been working for myself ever since. And of course, it's been interesting the past year and a half. And for me, it's actually been a past 18 months of really targeted, focused growth, both inward and outward. And I am so grateful for the tools, skills, and resources that I have, that I have built, and that I am fortunate enough to just be inside of, to have had help that happen. And I know that there are a lot of you out there in the world who are, I would say, probably struggling with where you're at in your workplace, or you're starting to look around going, is this really what I want to be doing? And you're watching employers go back and forth about how is in-person going to work? How is work at home going to work? How much are you having to time track and feel micromanaged working from home? And all of the things that people are struggling with. What's hybrid look like when one person wants to come in and one doesn't? As a coach, in what I do in my day-to-day, I see this quite a bit, and you've probably seen or heard the term go by in the past number of months, but the great resignation is upon us. Some of the numbers I've seen are something like 50 to 70% of people are contemplating a job change, a career move, or to start their own business. And that's what I want to talk with you about today, because if you're contemplating a leap, if you're looking at making a really big change to take your livelihood and your life and put it into your control rather than the control of an employer, I want to talk with you. And it might be particularly relevant and resonant with those of you who identify as being highly sensitive, highly empathic, highly intuitive, mostly because those are my experiences. And it took me quite a while because I really wanted to make the leap and start working for myself in early 2015. And it took me 3 years to get there. And there are a whole slew of reasons. Some were external things I could not control, and some were external things I could control. And had I gotten them under control faster, because of how I was reacting to them, I would have had more energy, time, and focus to really build what I wanted to be building, to be an independent creator. And what we're going to dive into today are the five limiting beliefs, or I shouldn't say the five, because there could be any number of limiting beliefs that people experience, but five limiting beliefs that hold people back from launching their business or making their change, and what we can do to look at them so that we can actually make the change and make the leap anyway. And I'll say one more thing, and I tend to bring it up often when I'm talking about transition. I always want people to take the pause so that they are assessing what they're doing first before they make the leap, because there are tweaks and changes that you can make from your current position where you are now, even if it's not great, even if it's not perfect, that will set you up so much better in the long run, because you won't be carrying those patterns with you and accidentally replicate them consciously or unconsciously in the spot that you land. We can't run from one place to another without adjusting our perspective, our focus, and our energy in ourselves, or it just isn't going to work. So I really want you to take this opportunity, if you're contemplating this, to not feel like you have to rush out of a fire into the cool breeze of your own business, because it's not going to be quite like that. It's always a little bit more jumbly and uncertain, but I don't say that to scare you. I say that because I want you to be prepared to make the leap and know what you're getting into, even if you don't exactly know what's on the other side. Trust me, I've been there, and I have been working with people over the past, well, since I quit my job, to help them do this. I've got three people I've worked with just this year in 2021 who are in process, either having already quit, I helped them scaffold and make the bridge to get to their consulting business or their new side hustle. And I'm in the middle of another one right now who's building up a new consultancy as we work together so that they can get ready to leave into their legacy career. So I really want you to be able to do this successfully. Okay, so without further ado, the first limiting belief: I'm not the expert. Okay, so I want to say that again really clearly, like, I'm not the expert, as in I don't have the degree, the master's degree, the doctoral degree, the certification in whatever it is that you want to be doing. You don't feel like you're perfect enough at the thing. Now this, this is one of the biggest ones that I see for folks who have a great idea or a burning desire or an intense passion, or even just a really, really great interest and a curious mind with a lot of savvy know-how. These are the things that get in the way, because we live in a society that is really attached to accolades and performance for something, earning it, quote unquote. And we don't recognize very often how we earn it in many, many, many other ways. I think a really funny example that just popped to mind that I want to give you is like your credit score, right? Society wants you to get a credit card and rack up debt and pay it off to prove that you're credit worthy. But if you have been paying rent on time for 10 years, that doesn't mean anything to the credit bureau. They won't give you a loan for a mortgage unless you've got that credit card or something else that's showing that you can pay off debt. But it doesn't show how you've already been paying for your living responsibly, because you've never been evicted and you've paid your rent on time. That is an area where you have absolute expertise in the ability to have money and pay for your life. So you should be able to apply for a loan for your home. But because you don't have the quote unquote certification of credit card debt and paying off credit card debt, the lender won't give it to you. It's the same idea for your expertise. It doesn't always have to come from the thing you went to school for or the job you've had for 10 years. You might actually be an excellent copywriter and freelance writer, or person with potential for journalism or wanting to write a book, because you just have a gift with language, a way with words. People can feel you with where you are when you're trying to explain yourself. And you may have majored in, I don't know, accounting, and you're just not excited to get out of bed to crunch numbers anymore. You have so many other areas of your life where you have expertise. And to start a business in order to be able to be in service for somebody else, you only need to be 10, 15% ahead of the person that you're going to serve. And the other thing is that when you start your business, because you're diving into the area of what you actually love and are interested in, you're not going to stop learning. You're going to continue to improve and get better. It's your own on-the-job training where you get to be in service and learn as you go. So keep that in mind. Perfectionism is not something that should be getting in your way of starting a business. You absolutely have the chops. And one of the things you can do is you can sit down with a list and jot down the first 20 things that come to mind that you are interested in, love, and know a lot about that are either related or unrelated to your current field of work, but that you would be interested in to start diving into the other places you can have something to offer the world. All right, that's the first one. Second one, excuse me, it's fall. Got a little cough, dry cough here. The second one is the sunk cost fallacy. So this is the thing where I spent $40,000 getting a graduate degree in this area, in this career, and this is where I'm working now. And I'm a little burnt out on it, but it would be crazy to leave. This is literally where I was. So I have a master's degree in urban and regional planning, and I worked about 10 years in the public sector, a little bit in consulting, but still usually for the public sector, even though I was private, on urban development and community development projects. It gave me a lot of the tools I have that I actually use all the time in facilitation and coaching, but I'm not always directly working on policy development anymore. I'm good at it. I'm good at getting community input and feedback and centering voices of the oppressed and marginalized to make sure that policy is created that does not harm to the best of the government's ability. I'm just going to put a caveat there because sometimes the information that's brought forward doesn't always get implemented. Now you know what I think. But that's not what I always do, because I started to realize that I wanted to work with people on a one-to-one level to help them get over their own internal blocks, because people who aren't blocked honestly write better policy. I kind of want to change the world one by one. Now you know my secret dream, but you don't have to have a sunk cost fallacy. Let's get back to the point. Yeah, I had a lot of debt from graduate school. Yeah, I had a lot of time working in my field, and I was tired of what I was doing the way I was doing it, and I wanted to do it my way. I wanted more one-to-one connection again. I didn't want to be working as an arm in government that wasn't always able to produce the outcome I had really desired from the authenticity of how I would engage. I felt like it wasn't meeting me where I needed to be met for integrity, just because the systems aren't there yet. But I can do that on a one-to-one level. I can be authentic and real and have a lot of integrity with one-to-one clients and groups. And so that's where I switched. And I just had to get over the fact that I had spent a lot of time working on a degree and in a field, but I've been able to thrive and be happy because I'm actually doing what I want, and I have been able to learn so much. I really do feel like my ability to work the way I want to has been my own on-the-job training. And I know that when I started out, I wasn't as astute or talented from sequencing A to Z for how I am today, 4 years later. But it's doable, and you'll learn. And again, you want to offer services to the folks that you're just a little bit ahead of, so that you're still giving value and doing a good job and not going above where you need to be. I didn't run out the door promising expert executive coaching to run a Fortune 500 company. That's not my wheelhouse. But I did want to go in and say, I can help you get over your limiting beliefs so that you can move forward in your life and have healthy boundaries. Let's go. And I can do that. All right. And you can too. So the sunk cost fallacy, don't let the time you've already served be an ongoing sentence. If that's how you feel about your current career, you're allowed to change. You have permission. You just have to give yourself permission to do what you want to do. And that a little bit leads into the next point, which is that the things you need to do, I have too many other obligations and responsibilities. I have too many other responsibilities and obligations. It would be so selfish of me to think that I could start a business right now that I want to create. And so this is how it dovetails in, right? Like we think about what it will take to start a business, and we think about perhaps, and there might be some realness here, you might be a single or a solo parent raising a family on your current income in a job that you're not that excited about, but you can't imagine not having healthcare or the salary you earn currently. So you're in a set of golden handcuffs. And I can understand that, but there's always also a way to make a bridge. I like to call it the side hustle bridge, because you can start to build a baby business on the side that lights you up and gives you some energy and inspiration and helps you do those tweaks I talked about at the very beginning of the episode, where you're starting to look at what's working and what's not working And it gives you a long-term kind of pause as you get ready to make the switch. Maybe you do need your kids to be a little older in both in elementary school so that you have the time to work on a business in a way that you don't at the moment because they're so young, right? That's okay. You're going to find your pacing and your process, but you can start. The obligation responsibilities, particularly around being a solo earner or the sole, I want to say that one way. It's like the one thing is the biggest one. And then often there are other hurdles in there too. Maybe you are part of you're on a dual earning income household and your income is absolutely necessary, but there's more of the feeling of the sunk cost fallacy getting in the way. It's not responsible to just quit my job and go and do the thing I want. I can't do it. I need to show up and be a good role model or demonstrate to my community that I follow through. And there are all of these other sort of, I like to call them programs running in the background that are actually dictating what you do and don't do. And when we come to this moment, what I really like to think about is who benefits. So if you have a moment, and maybe just earmark this and then come back to it later because there will be a replay. There'll be a replay. But you can think to yourself, in my current role, in my current job, who benefits and how by me staying here? And then look to yourself and say, if I were to pursue what I am most interested in, how would I benefit and who would it affect? And start to look at the way that you are interconnected in different relationships and if it is a due or undue burden onto you, right? I'm pretty liberatory and independent in my thinking. I have two young children. I am married. I did support my husband for 5 years while he went back to school and we had young children. So I had to be the sole earner for a while. And the responsible thing to do would have been as soon as he's got a job, I should have stayed in my job earning what I was earning for another 2 to 3 years to just save so much money. I waited about 3 months and then I launched and we switched. And it's been different, but our income has increased, but it hasn't done it in the same way. But we took the risk and we had the conversation because I knew that I wanted to be working on the thing I wanted to be working on and not stuck in a grind that would continue to erode my my sense of self because of a sense of duty and obligation to earn as much money as possible. Now, there are situations where money is absolutely necessary. If you've got a family of four and you're making less than $70,000 a year, I get it. You might not be able to just make that jump. And I want to respect that. But if you're making more than that, there's room for thought. And when I talk about the interconnection of the relationships between you and the people that you have duty, obligation, responsibility for, it's looking at how much are you in service and how much of your energy is going out for them versus how much of it is serving yourself and your own growth and expansion. And because I believe that everything ultimately is energy and energetic imbalances within our system are ultimately what lead to depression, disease, and unhappiness, it's critically important to also be looking at what's going into your system, even if it rocks the boat a little bit and people have to adjust. It's good for their growth too. Now, I don't want to throw you into something precarious and uncertain. So don't follow that advice if it really doesn't work for you financially or stability-wise. But if it's just a belief you have about your duty and obligation to show up and appear a certain way, I want you to pause and really start to question who you're serving and how they benefit and how it either serves and works for you or does not work for you. And then if you can get there visually, in your mind's eye, what is your actual truth? What's your truth in that situation? And how can you start to build a roadmap to your truth? Because you've already got your ears perked up if you're listening to this and you really enjoy what we're talking about here. There is a truth in there for you to explore and I want you to find it. All right. And I think I've got two more and I actually have time. I'm not taking over the whole time super fast. All right. So the other two, I think are also a little bit related. The fourth one is I have a limiting belief that I can't start a business because what will people think? This is looking for all of that approval. And it's a little bit tied again to the other ones, right? Perfectionism or sunk cost fallacy. I've been in this job for so long. What do people think if I just uproot it and leave and start a consultancy or a coaching business or a hair salon business, or I start writing books or copywriting and I've done X, Y, and Z instead for the past 15 years? What will they think? And this is the part, again, to do a check-in on your relationships. Look at how you're connected to other people and what is their perspective on the world, and are you matching to it, and is it helpful? And again, is it working for you? If they're going to look down on you in judgment for pursuing your desires, that actually says a lot more about them than it does about you. No one likes the lobster that's trying to crawl out of the boiling pot. The other lobsters, without thinking, start to pull on it because they're trying to get out too, but then everyone ends up boiled alive together. Be the lobster that gets out of the pot. Get a claw up over the edge. Don't worry about what other people are thinking and leap yourself to freedom. Don't get eaten alive in the environment that's not your truth. Just because other people are afraid to take a step doesn't mean that they have control over your ability to take a step. I really want you to consider that when you handle judgment. What does it say about them? And then what does it say about how much judgment you might be handling in your space on a day-to-day basis? If this is a key concern for you, what will other people think? Now, this can take a little bit more work to unpack because these are often set pretty early in childhood and earlier life experiences for how we handle other people's opinions about ourselves. I know I've done my fair share of work to work through this, and I'm still working through it all the time, but I'm moving forward and it gets uncomfortable and I feel really squelchy and yuck often enough. But I've begun to learn that when I start to feel that around what other people think of me, I know that I'm growing and I'm expanding into a new area that I haven't experienced yet, and I'm on the right track. I have begun at this point in my life to associate the discomfort of growth with something that's good for me. I hope you get there too. So take a moment and think about that. The last one, the fifth and final limiting belief that we're going to talk about today is, ooh, who am I to go and just do this thing, right? And this one is more about that internal view of yourself. The other one we just talked about, other people's perceptions. This one is your own perception of yourself. And this one, I feel so much compassion for, because again, this comes from so many older things usually in our lives, early childhood, experiences in school, and the ways that maybe we were or were not helpfully parented, right? This is about our own belief, our own affinity for ourselves, and our own stepping into our self-worth. I wish so much, if this is where you struggle, and I know that there are some of you out there, some of you are my very good friends, I wish I could wave a magic wand and make this feeling of unworthiness evaporate for you. I also know that I experience this too from time to time. I tend to be a little overly chatty, a little dramatic, a little overly excited, and I don't always have those feelings at the same time as everyone else around me. And I feel like I start to overstep all over them. And then I start to feel a lot of shame and guilt when I do that, because I feel like I'm taking their space and their attention and I'm not worth their time. I want to tell you that I experience this, because it doesn't necessarily just go away that I've experienced yet, but I have worked on validating myself and checking my limiting beliefs so much that I have a much easier time clearing those feelings of shame and guilt in a faster way than I've ever been able to do up till this point in my life. And I know that you can do it too. And so if you're struggling with it, it's again a bit of an inventory, but this time it's this internal inventory. And it's awkward, but I'll list it out. I want you to think about places First, I just want to kind of have you close your eyes because we're just going to do it this way. I want you to just close your eyes and take a deep breath and exhale. And I want you to just visualize with me here a big drain at the base of your body. And I'm going to invite all of these lack of good feelings in your sense of, in your space, in your body, in your mind, in your energetic field to go away from you and drain down into the earth. I want all of the pain that you're handling for yourself and for others to drain away. It's actually not your responsibility to hold other people's pain. You can see their pain. You can bear witness. You can send them love, but you don't have to take it away from them and hold it yourself. You can let that go because just seeing somebody and recognizing them where they are is what they need. They don't need you to hold it. And if they're asking you to hold it, that's a relationship agreement to check. The next one I want you to find in your space and have drained down into the earth is invalidation and judgment. Whose invalidation and judgment are you handling? How much of it is really yours? And again, is it your job to be holding that, that then sparks your own memories of it, right? It's just, what I really like is that in Spanish, so like in English we'll say, I am sad, right? And it's just, I am. And then in Spanish, there are two verbs to use the verb to be. There's ser y estar, right? Ser is the permanent one. I am, like, I am Ellen. Yo soy Ellen, right? Like, I'm not going to change away from being me. I'm Ellen. But yo estoy triste. I am sad, but it's temporary condition. Estoy, right? Estar is the temporary to be. So it has permission to leave. My sadness can leave. And all the other, I didn't use the words for invalidation and judgment because I don't necessarily know that in Spanish. But you can let them leave because they don't have to be yours to carry forever. And some of us carry them for far, far, far longer than we need to. I know I still have pockets of it locked up in me somewhere that once in a while I find and I'm like, oh, hello, you've been making me feel very awkward and uncomfortable today. I'm going to release you now. And it's not my job to continue to hold you because I'd like you to return back to something more neutral so I can have something better. I like to make space for the better often. All right. And the last one I want you to have, because this is about worthiness, is about uncertainty and doubt. I want you to let that go away. I want you to let all of the feelings of uncertainty and doubt that you're hanging out, that is hanging out in your space, to just go down into the center of the earth, to just get crunched up and burned and melted in the core, right? How fun is that? Yeah. Little mental visualization there. And because you're visualizing the release of things that are in your space, you're creating new space. And what I want you to fill it up with is belief in yourself. And if that's even a stretch, I want you to just fill it up with forgiveness or invite healing to come in, right? Or even just faith that it could be better. Invite that to come in. Just the possibility of it improving. Because I can't wave a magic wand and have your self-worth and worthiness become the thing that I often see immediately when I meet people, even if they're struggling. I can always see their worth. And I love doing what I do because sometimes I'm the one helping to chart a path forward for them to find it. But I'm not telling them what to do or who they are. I'm merely asking questions to help remind themselves to rediscover the perfectness and wholeness that they were when they arrived, like on planet Earth, right? You've got it in you. And other stuff got overlaid because, I mean, let's be real. It's not easy being a human being, 21st century. It's kind of a mess, but there's a lot of good out there and there's a lot of good in you to be uncovered. And the more we work to uncover it, the more we're able to step into what works for us and what is our truth. And then the more of us who get better and who heal ourselves and who start cool projects, new businesses that bring us life and joy and vitality. And can I tell you, as a person with an economic development background, what happens when you bring health, joy, and vitality to a depressed area? It revitalizes an entire neighborhood, community, and district. I want that for the human spirit. We all need it. That's the parallel to my urban planning background. That's as much as I'll go with that. But all right, so now you know it. These are the five that I came up with. There are probably others, but now you have some tools for how to work through them. But these five limiting beliefs on what is getting in the way of you, if you've been thinking about it for, I don't know, 2, 3, 5 years now, starting a business, and some of the ways you can approach it. Quick special offer before we wrap, and I know we're just about out of time. I offer one-to-one coaching. I can help you get through this. You can email me, find me at my website, ellenwyomingdeloy.com. And I also, I've mentioned energy quite a bit. I'm also an intuitive reader. If you don't want a full coaching series, I can sit with you one-to-one for an hour and do a hello to your spirit and your energy and present time and give you an intuitive reading. I'm just reading the energy of the present moment. So this isn't any psychic, I'm going to tell you the future and what's going to happen. I don't do that. I say hello to you in the present moment so that you can have the gift of seeing a little bit more in depth of what you're confronting and maybe a way to break through it. All right. Find me at ellenwyomingdeloy.com. You won't actually see the intuitive reading bookings option quite yet. I'm going to kick it off next week, but you can email me if you're interested. You'll find my contact info on my website. Thank you so much. Tune in to the next time I'm here, second and fourth Tuesdays on The Pause with Ellen Wyoming Deloy. Thanks so much. Thanks for being here on The Pause. Whenever you are listening and wherever you're listening from, we hope this time gives you some space from your day to reflect and gain some insight into where you're going and how you can make your next steps count. If you're really looking to jump into your personal growth journey, schedule a free consultation with me and learn how my coaching can help you to start taking meaningful action in your life today. Visit my site, ellenwyomingdeloy.com. See you next time.